Papa.
256.
Papa.
Good to be in the Lord's house again today. Good to see each and every one that's come this way. And I know everybody has cooked and prepared for a meal after the service today. And I can smell it and it smells good. But we've come here today to worship the Lord, give God honor and glory, and one has turned out this way, and I hope that everybody's come today to serve the Lord instead of eat. I hope we're fed in another way before we go fill ourselves up with food. I hope we're spiritually fed today. I hope the Lord would pray that the Lord would meet with us and bless this service today. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad to have you. And we just want to serve the Lord today. We, at this time, would like to go to the Lord in prayer, but if there's anyone has anything on their heart that they would like to mention before we go to the Lord in prayer, it's a good time. And, you know, there's no other place that I would rather bring forth things to have prayed for than by God's people, knowing that they can talk with the Lord about my situation just as well as I could. And hopefully sometimes, you know, when I'm not in a condition that I need to be where I can get to the Lord, maybe somebody else is in condition and they can speak on my behalf. It's a good thing to be able to talk to the Lord, and it's a good thing to have our brothers and sisters praying for our wants and our needs too. So would there be anything on anyone's heart this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? Let's continue to remember Brenda and her mother, and as she's recovering, you know, I hope to see her be able to come back to church. I hope she gets well enough where she can come back to church. You know, she's feeble, but the Lord can do good things. Let's remember all those that Sister Mary Jo was mentioned this morning in Sunday school that she's not feeling well this morning. Let's continue to remember her and her recovery. I guess I'd ask, how's Dalton doing?
Fine.
He's doing good? That's good.
He's doing good, but it's the same.
All right. But let's continue to remember Sister Maureen, those that's had surgeries, and there's those that's not with us today, they're traveling. Let's remember them, that the Lord would give them traveling grace and bring them back safely. Remember that family and the loss of their loved one. Let's try to continue to remember our lost, our family members and our friends that we know, according to their actions, are lost. Let's continue to lift them up before the Lord. Someone else this morning.
Whoa.
If not, I'd ask you to remember me as I stand this morning. Nothing else to be said or done.
Whoa.
Ask Brother Quinn if he would lead us in prayer.
Our Father, in heaven, we kind and love and worship and say, Father, Lord, before you mention one another, we just want to tell you why. Thanks to them, all others, to our church. Lord, as we have anything to do with you, Father, it's so strong.
Oh,
2:30.
Forever. cheer, and I just don't want to pass up this opportunity when it's not from our heart. The thing, so you're going to say.
Amen.
Brother Robert, if I could, I'd like to sing a song for y'all.
All right, come ahead.
Brother Bobby Gladden wrote this song, I guess it was about 2 years ago. I don't think I can't do it as well as she does it. I've never even sang this song before. I saw it probably for the second time, maybe half a week ago. But it's entitled God is More, and Bobby really means a lot to me. And when he wrote this song, he explained it to me, and I can't remember exactly how he explained it. But I just want y'all to listen to these words, because the words of this song are so meaningful and they're so deep. They're simple, but they're deep, and I'd like y'all to listen to this. I don't think this is on. That's all right.
I stand in awe today of how much God cares for me. How could He send His Son to suffer at Calvary? Why did He die, and why should I live? I can't repay Him, so why did He give such grace without bounds? My logic is stout, because He's more than the songs we sing, more than the praise we bring. Love unlike anything we've known, He has in store. His mercy knows no end, we'll never comprehend His great love, more than our human minds can fathom. God is more.
That's the only verse I have memorized. I went through these books, but that's the only one. Thank you.
Someone else this morning.
Thank you.
This is the Lord's service, and let's just follow and do what the Lord would have us to do, and He'll be pleased with us. I want to take a reading lesson this morning, if there's nothing else to be said or done. Out of the first chapter of the book of John, John chapter 1, I wanted to start reading in verse 1 through about verse 17. Starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." That's my reading lesson this morning. And I guess if I had a title to my message this morning, it would be simply put, "Grace for Grace." There's so much that can be said about all the things that I read in this reading this morning. The deity of Christ, basically putting Christ before the foundation of the world in this first verse. The things that were mentioned that he was sent to this world for us, to be a light to us, that for those that believe in him and trust in him, that they might be saved. God sent him into this world for us. But my thoughts this morning are basically about grace. You know, Brother Dylan sung that song, and some more songs were sung this morning. And you think about God. He's more. That song said he's more than anything that we can fathom. He's more than anything that we can understand for sure and know about. But his word tells us about the things that we relate, I believe, in our human minds. I believe the things that God has for those that have been saved by his grace and for those that have not been saved. I believe the Bible dictates and tells very clearly about both ways. And I believe this morning that when we think about this grace that was mentioned here, it says, "And of his fullness," in the 16th verse, "and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." You know, I was thinking about that, just exactly what that meant, "and grace for grace." You can read some of the different people that had thoughts on that. You might read five different things of what they meant or what they thought. But, you know, grace for grace, grace on top of grace, is what it means to me. I think it means grace applied to grace. We think about grace and the word itself, and I believe in the world that we live in today, when the word grace is mentioned, people will think in their minds, "What's in it for me? That God has given something, and what's in it for me? What do I stand to gain from all this?" And I believe that we live in a world today that the word grace is misunderstood, from the point that grace is something that is applied to someone's heart when the Lord saves their soul. And the world thinks of it maybe many times is what God is giving us. How God is taking care of us and watching over us. And in all aspects, it is that way. It is true. But like that song said, God is more. He's so much more. The things that he gives us and how he deals with us is more than we can fathom or understand. Grace added to grace. That fullness that was spoken about, I believe it has references, if you go back into the 14th verse, and I believe it has reference to full of grace and truth. I believe the truth that has been brought down. I believe in this that was mentioned of John the Baptist, that was a forerunner of Christ, heralding the truth. He was telling the world that there's a Savior coming. He was a herald going out before the king, and he was telling the world that the king is coming. He wasn't trying to point people to him, but he was trying to point people to Jesus, the light that was coming. He wanted them to see Jesus. He wanted them to know Jesus. And he wanted them to feel the grace. The grace that had been applied. You know, we, many times, those of us that have been saved, possibly seem to think that there's a storeroom of grace, you know, that we've got it stacked up somewhere and we can just reach in and grab it and get it whenever we want it. But it's not that way. Grace is something, first of all, when you just look at the definition, it's unmerited favor of God. Each and every one of us were born into this world as sinners. And we were undeserving of a Savior. We was undeserving of God sending His Son to this world and to die for our sins, that we might be saved, that we might be able to go back to heaven one day and have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. It was unmerited. There's nothing. The Bible, we can go through and we can find just exactly what we are. Sinners. In God's eyes. And we were born that way. You know? So, grace is unmerited favor of God. Something that we didn't deserve. But God loved us. He loved us anyway. He loved us for just exactly what we are and who we are. And believe me, He knew every one of us. The Bible tells us that He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows all about us. From the beginning to the end. And He loved us anyway. What a blessed thing. When you think about grace, you can't help but think about His love. Or I can't. You know? He had to love us, didn't He? He truly had to love us. He had to love the whole human race, didn't He? He had to love the whole world. To be able to provide a way for us. You know, and the amazing thing was done. See, I believe in the foreknowledge of God before the foundation of the world, and that council meeting where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit met together and come to the conclusion and understanding that there had to be one die for the sins of mankind, because as He looked down, that He would send His Son, that He would make a way, that He would make a way for all the lost, for all those boys and girls that's growing up in this world. He made a way for them. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross to pay the sin debt for this world. We can look over in Ephesians in the second chapter. Verses that we discussed in Sunday school this morning. The 8th and 9th verse, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." See, that grace and the faith that is granted to us is a gift of God. It wasn't deserved. There wasn't anything that we done to deserve it. We wasn't good enough and special enough to deserve it. But it's because of His love for us that He made a way. that grace that is applied. You know, there's the word is often mentioned when we speak of it is peace. There's peace involved in that grace, isn't there? And I believe that, you know, I believe there's different levels of grace. I believe the Bible teaches that when the Lord added to the church, He added those for particular purposes and particular reasons. I believe He gives levels of grace to levels of service. I believe He gives on and on and on that we can't see. But the grace that we're talking about this morning is the grace that's applied to someone's heart once they've been saved. And that's something that, you know, we've said here before that it's unexplainable. You know, that there was a time and a place where the Lord convicted me. I knew that I was a sinner in God's eyes because the Lord told me. You know, we here at Faith believe that you might be able to read through the Bible and you might be able to come to the understanding that you're a sinner by reading this where the Bible says that you're a sinner if you haven't been saved. But we believe that if Jesus, if the Holy Spirit of God does not convict you and show you that you're a sinner before God, that you cannot be saved.
Amen.
There's a difference in a thinking that you might be lost and the Holy Spirit of God showing you where you stand before an almighty, all righteous, and all holy God. Bringing you down to the point of repentance and seeking Him that you might be found. There's a difference.
Amen.
There's a difference. It's only at that point where you get to the very end where that gift is given to you that is spoken about in these verses that I just read. That gift of faith and that gift of grace is applied to your heart. Not by works, not of anything that we've done. See, if we had the ability to do something, if it was within man's power, and within his understanding, within his reason, within his ways, in any shape, form, or fashion, that he could do something that would get him saved, then it would be an honor and glory for God, would it? There would be no honor and glory for God. Man would twist it and turn it, and all of a sudden, the honor and the glory would be going to man. But see, as this works, God set forth a plan of salvation. Only one way, only one plan, only one method. And it's by grace through faith. Are you saved? By grace through faith. No other method born to man. We think about there's so many verses that we can look at this morning. In the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, you can read that whole 5th chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We can go on and down and read. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. See, that atonement was when Christ died. The atonement was Godward. It wasn't to appease man. It wasn't because of the goodness or anything that man had done. That atonement that was given by Jesus Christ on the cross when He died for our sins, every drop of blood that was shed for the sins of this world was Godward. It was to appease God because man sinned. And there had to be someone come along and to appease God for the sins of all mankind. And that was Jesus. And He did that. He lived a perfect life. He lived the law perfectly. Everything He did was perfect. And it was pleasing to God. That was the only way that you and I are able to be here this morning and worship Him. Each and every one of us that have been saved by God's grace has had that grace applied to us, the blood shed abroad upon our hearts. Each and every one of us, the only way that we can say that this morning is because Jesus died and He was an atonement for the sins, for my sin, for your sin, and for the sins of this world. I thank God for it this morning. Over in the, you can read on. There's so much to be said about it. In the 15th verse it says, "But of the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is to many offenses unto justification." You can read on there. It said, "For sin did abound, grace did much more abound." It doesn't make any difference. You know, I believe there's people that are walking around in this world today that believe that they're such bad people that they couldn't be saved. They've done such hideous things and they've lived such a horrible life that they couldn't be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches whosoever would believe and trust in Him, repent of their sins, can be saved. And I believe that goes for any. And there's example after example, and you can take Paul as the first one. For the example, who was a murderer and one that persecuted the church and did all manner of things, and he was saved on the road to Damascus and became one of the greatest people to point souls to Jesus that ever lived. So I don't believe that we can be too bad that the Lord can't save our souls. We got to turn to Him. We got to turn to Him. Over in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I'll try to start closing here. Twelfth chapter of the book of Hebrews, in the first couple of verses, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. That free gift that was given to us when the Lord saved our soul. The only one. You know, my title to my message today was Grace for Grace. And when you read here, it speaks of the cross for joy. Jesus' death for our grace. That's what it come down to. Jesus died that we could have grace. That we might have joy in our lives. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Seated there now, and He is mediator between God and man. I'm thankful this morning that I know Him. I'm thankful this morning that grace has been applied to my heart. I'm thankful that, you know, that as far as grace goes, that the Bible teaches us that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And we can lay our burdens down before Him, and He'll listen to Him, and He'll take care of them. We can bring our ailments and our pains and our sufferings. We can take those that we love and are lost. We can take all those things and we can lay them down at the feet of Jesus this morning. No. We can take them boldly to that throne of grace and He will hear us. I'm so thankful for that this morning. You know what He saved my soul? He put some grace in here. He gave me a love. Oh, and there's so much more. He just keeps on and keeps on giving grace and keeps on blessing and keeps on and keeps on leading and keeps on guiding, keeps on directing. That's my Lord who I love this morning. Thank the Lord this morning. Thank Him this morning. It's my feeble message. Would there be a thought on anyone's heart?
It's good to be here with you, good folks, this morning. We feel the Spirit of God in this place. We're thankful for His very blessings on us. For we were at the age of 10 years old, the Word was preached to us and it convicted our hearts and brought us down to a place of repentance and searching for Him. And I can speak for myself that I searched for Him for months. Sometimes in the garden, sometimes in the bed, sometimes in altars at revival meetings. But I finally got right with Him. I got serious about it and got down with it and said, Lord, there's nothing else I can promise. There's nothing else I can do. I don't have any more deals to make. It's up to You. That's what He said.
Amen.
And my salvation, like you said, like this good brother said, that same, it's just no sweeter as the years go by. We feel blessed this morning that we found y'all and come out to be with you. We worship today the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a powerful God that brought the children of Israel out of Israel by a powerful hand. And we're living in a day and time that we need that every one of us in our daily lives.
Amen.
Something powerful. There ain't nothing you depend on. People tell you depend on this, depend on that. You can't depend on the dollar. You can't depend on the government. You can't depend on nothing. Sometimes you can't even depend on family. God is the only thing we got that we can depend on. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He knows those that love Him. And He knows those that trust in Him. And those that pray to Him.
Amen.
And He'll take care of us in these troubled times we're in. And we're in trouble now. We're at the very threshold of our Lord coming back again. Blessed is the servants that are watching and waiting and they're ready when He comes back. Let's not let Him catch us asleep and drunk and beating our servants when He comes back and thinking, well, He's tarried, so we'll just do whatever we want to. He said, I'll come back and I'll whip you for that. But He said, if I find you watching and on guard, then I'll sit down and I'll sit you down at the table and I'll serve you. And I'll feed you. So I appreciate the welcome that we have been given here, my wife and my daughter. And I have been blessed. I enjoy these testimonies that's been given. And thank God for His mercy and grace. Come on, us all.
Amen.
We're undeserving creatures. David said, what are we? What are we then? God is in the mind for us. But thank God He is. Jesus, after the resurrection, sat down with his disciples, went to the books of Moses and the books of the prophets and showed them all the things that were written about Him. How that He was the Word from the very beginning that He breathed. It was always a plan for Him to come and give His life. Showing to them it was necessary for Him to suffer and die on the cross that we might have an atonement for our sins. God bless you.
Amen. Appreciate this.
I'll sing y'all a song if you want me to.
Go right ahead.
I don't know if I'll ever get to come back or not. I love God's people.
Amen.
I love to see people saved. And they need to be more than happy to believe in one who they've not heard about.
That's right.
How can they hear about a God preacher? And how can he preach except to be sent? It takes the Holy Ghost of God to preach, convict the lost, bring them to a place of repentance where they can believe and trust in God. I didn't mean to take so much time. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I preach so much at home, my wife told me a time or two, you need to stop preaching to me. And I said, well, why don't you repent? But I have to unroll it up now there. Bless your heart.
If you feel like singing a song, sing it for us.
Well, I'd love to hear it.
I don't want to say a word. I've been known Brother Kendall Owen for since he was a young boy, and his brother and sister sang my horn trio. I've been in many services. His daddy is about 90 something years old. He's a missionary dad, he's pretty good. So, 5 million. And I remember when you married your wife from Mississippi. Mississippi. And then they sang with all my family. And they're wonderful people. I'm glad they're all here. Appreciate it. We would like to do that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on, Jess.
You got what, $3 more?
I've got a son and $2 more.
Son,
and they all sang. And anyway, I'm crippled up somewhat now. I was in a wreck a couple of years ago and broke my hip all to pieces. And my shoulder crippled me up some. And Jim, even though I was down in the hospital, my wife said, well, do you want to cancel this bookings or what do you want to do? And I said, no, let's give it a few days and see what God will work out. And God sent us some helpers and my children and all of them picked up and went on and done those things. And so he was really blessed and took care of us up this hill, though. Shall we? The mountains that
Pray, be there.
Someone else. Truly enjoyed the singing. Testimony this morning. Someone else. If not, it's been truly good to be in the Lord's house today. It's been good to feel the presence of the Lord here and working with us. Enjoyed the singing, testimonies, and just a good day of the Lord as far as I'm concerned. Just a good day of the Lord. Let's try to be mindful of all those that are sick. Those that are lost. You know, we got children here. It ain't going to be long. Brothers and sisters, they're right there at that age and right there at that time. Be mindful of that. Be prayerful about that. That the very minute that they come to the understanding of their lost soul condition, that they'll fall on their knees and seek God to the salvation of their soul. Lord help. We've got adults that are coming. They need to be saved. They need the Lord. Don't know what it's going to take to bring them down, but the Lord does. We need to pray to that effect. Whatever it might take, that the Lord might save their soul. Let's continue to remember. So, this afternoon, we're going to, some of us, whichever of us they can,
She can't come to church anymore. We got her. My heart really goes out to my mother's living. I believe from the conversation that I've had with her that she's truly been saved. And she's not here in the service that her son needs. So let's all pray for Brother Armand that God will give him the words.
Yeah.
And she'll feel the sweet, precious spirit that she needs to feel.
Lord.
Because one day, when we might be in a nursing home and not hear what her soul needs.
Yeah.
Lord.
Appreciate this. Y'all pray for this service that we're going to go to after we eat. Let the Lord give us the words that we need to say. Anyone else this morning? If not, I'll stand in and we'll be dismissed, and I'll ask the person that dismisses to bless the meal. If you're visiting with us today, we have food. We would love for you to stay and eat with us. There's plenty. And we would love for you to stay and eat with us. All hearts and minds clear? Brother Billy, would you dismiss and bless the meal, please?
Me? You want me to? I'm just going to leave all my stuff here.